Yeah. This hearing of the Senate Community and Regional Affairs Committee will now come to order. It is now 1:32, Tuesday, March 12th, in Belts 105. Members present are Senator Gray Jackson, Senator Giesel, Senator Bjorkman, and myself, Senator Dunbar. Let the record reflect that we have a quorum to conduct business. Please take this time to silence your cell phones for the duration of the meeting. Before we begin, I would like to thank Juliana Singh, the Senate Community and Regional Affairs Recording Secretary, and Joseph Giesbrecht from the Juneau LIO for staffing the committee today. We have two items of business on our agenda today. First, consideration of a committee substitute and looking to the will of the committee on SB 184, Eliminate Daylight Savings Time by Senator Kawasaki, and then an introductory hearing on SB 256, Establish ALS Awareness Month by the Senate State Affairs Committee, also presented by Senator Kawasaki. Do any committee members have any questions before we begin? Not seeing any. Okay. So first up is SB 184, Eliminate Daylight Savings Time. Last week, we heard an introduction on the bill, invited testimony, and public testimony, which I closed. Today, it is my intention to adopt a Community and Regional Affairs Committee substitute, take questions from committee members, and look to the will of the committee. With that, we will begin by taking up a committee substitute for SB 184. This change was requested by the sponsor to fix a technical error. Senator Giesel, may I have a motion?
Mr. Chairman, I move the committee substitute for Senate Bill 184, version 33LS1037/B, before the committee as our working document.
Thank you. I will object for the purpose of discussion and invite Senator Kawasaki and his staff, Griffin Sakeo, forward to explain the summary of changes. Excuse me.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the Community Regional Affairs Committee. For the record, Senator Scott Kawasaki, District P in Fairbanks.
Through the chair, for the record, Griffin Sukeo. My name is Griffin Sukeo, staff to Senator Kawasaki, and I will explain the changes from the original version A to B for Senate Bill 184. Section 2 changes the effective date from July 31st, 2024 to November 4th, 2024 in accordance with the Uniform Time Act of 1966, and that's the only changes in the committee substitute.
Thank you. Are there any questions for the sponsor? All right, I'm not seeing any questions, so I will remove my objection. Are there any further objections to adopting the committee substitute? Seeing none, the committee substitute for SB 184, version Bravo, has been adopted as our working document. With that, I will look to the – well, actually, first, is there any discussion before you look to the will of the committee? Would you like to make a closing statement, Senator Kawasaki?
I don't really want to make a closing statement. The only thing I can say is that it feels like 2:30. I don't know about you, Senator Bjorkman, but this is just one of the many complaints we hear about it. So this issue relating to daylight saving time and whether the state of Alaska adopts it or not is not a simple thing. It impacts people very, very differently. There are some obviously health issues related to daylight saving time, but there's also some economic ones, being 5 hours difference from East Coast time, being a really wide state with a long latitude, with a lot of latitude, means that from one side of the state in the east and southeast, especially all the way to the all the way to Fairbanks, for instance, and we have multiple sun will go down at very different times depending upon where you're at within this vast state, and so it does impact business quite differently depending on that area. So. With that, I'll just say thank you for consideration of the bill.
Thank you. Senator Bjorkman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. One thing that I did learn that I was not aware of before, but the Alaska State Association of Bankers actually has a specific position in opposition to this bill because of how it would affect their ability to transact business and to actually operate within a window when a lot of the businesses that are essential to them being able to do business is happening on the East Coast. So I was not aware that the State Association of Bankers actually was against this piece of legislation, but now I am.
Thank you, Senator Bjorkman. Senator Giesel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I've been here, done that with this bill. Have we heard from the chambers yet? They're going to be opposed to it, too. I can foretell. That's why it hasn't passed before when Senator Anna McKinnon offered the bill. Regardless, we live in an electronic age, and all of these economic activities can take place quite smoothly online. We do stock exchanges, international, European work online, and so it can be done. Just one comment, it actually feels more like 12:37 to me. But thank you very much, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Senator Giesel. Senator Gray Jackson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you again, Senator Kawasaki, for bringing this forward. And I know during our last hearing, I agreed with somebody who was in the audience in terms of, instead of daylight savings time, standard time, I think it was. But at this point, I'd be happy to see daylight savings time move forward. So again, thank you. And thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Senator Gray Jackson. I'll say for my part, because we may get a chance to debate this on the floor. It's also very likely that we won't. I'll just say here that I agree with everything that's been said. And I think Senator Bjorkman made some very good points at our last hearing about the impact that moving away from daylight savings time has on folks that want to recreate after work, for example. That being said, for me, had this been a bill to stay on permanent daylight savings time, I would have also I probably would have also spoken in favor of that. For me, it's the change that I find so disruptive to health and to our constituents. And as was presented, we don't have the legal ability to stay on permanent daylight savings time. This is our only ability. This is the only way we can stop the change. And so for that, I do think we should move it forward. With that, I will look to the will of the committee to move this bill. Senator Giesel, may I have a motion?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I move the committee substitute for Senate Bill 184, Work Order 33LS1037-B, from this committee with individual recommendations and attached zero fiscal note.
Is there objection to move from committee? Seeing none, SB 184 passes from committee. We will now take a brief at ease while members sign the committee report. Back on the record, we now have SB 256, established ALS Awareness Month, sponsored by Senator Kawasaki, actually by the, I believe it's by the committee. We will hear an introduction on the bill, sectional analysis, invited testimony, and public testimony. And we will now hear from Senator Kawasaki and his chief of staff, Joe Hayes. So here we go. Would you please provide an introduction to the bill?
Thank you, Senator Dunbar and members of the Community and Regional Affairs Committee. For the record, Senator Scott Kawasaki, District P, representing Fairbanks, Fort Wainwright, and Badger. Pleased to, on behalf of the Senate State Affairs Committee, by request, introduce Senate Bill 256. Before I pass it off to my to my coworker. I just wanted to say that the month of May is recognized as the National ALS Month, Awareness Month, or Amyotrophic Lateral Sclerosis Awareness Month. And all Senate Bill 256 seeks to do is to raise the awareness here in the state of Alaska by proclaiming May as ALS Awareness Month here in Alaska. So with that, thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Senator Kawasaki. Mr. Hayes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members of the committee, my name is Joe Hayes, Chief of Staff to Senator Kawasaki, and I will do the sponsor statement and sectoral analysis for Senate Bill 256. So the month of May is recognized as National ALS Awareness Month. ALS is also known as amyotrophic lateral sclerosis or Lou Gehrig's disease. ALS was first identified in 1869, and in the 155 years since, there is no effective treatment and no cure. ALS is a neurodegenerative disease that affects the nerve cells in the brain and spinal cord that controls voluntary muscle movement and breathing. ALS is a 100% fatal disease. There is no cure for ALS. ALS is a rare disease affecting 5 in 100,000 people. Approximately 30,000 people in the United States are currently living with ALS. Approximately 60 people in Alaska are currently living with ALS. 90% of patients diagnosed with ALS have no family history or disease. Only 10% of patients have familial hereditary ALS. ALS may strike at any age, but most people who have ALS are between ages 40 and 70. There are currently only three medications that slow the progression of ALS and one medication that targets familial ALS specifically. These medications only extend life expectancy by a few months. ALS causes the motor neurons in the central nervous system to degenerate over time and die. This affects a person's ability to talk, walk, and breathe. People with ALS will eventually lose their ability to speak, become paralyzed, and lose the ability to breathe on their own. ALS patients die from respiratory failure. The mean survival for someone diagnosed with ALS is 2 to 5 years. Every 90 minutes, someone is diagnosed with ALS, and every 90 minutes, someone dies from it. Veterans are 1.5 to 2 times more likely than non-service members to be diagnosed with ALS. There is no single test to diagnose ALS. It is diagnosed only after numerous other conditions have been ruled out. A delayed diagnosis results in delayed treatment, start, or medication. It could take a patient over a year to get an ALS diagnosis. ALS symptoms vary. In limb onset, ALS, it may manifest as weakness in patient's hand or foot, arm, or leg. In bulbar onset ALS, it may manifest as trouble speaking or swallowing. There currently is no known cause for ALS. 100% of ALS patients are unaware of the cause of their disease. And then I have a little bit about why ALS is important, but I think we'll wait for the folks. And for the sectional analysis, Section 1 amends AS 4412 to add a new section to Article 2 to read Section 4412-190, Amyotrophic Lateral Awareness Month. Section 2 creates an immediate effective date under AS 101-10070C. And with that, we're open for questions, Mr. Chair, members of the committee.
Thank you. Are there any questions? Thank you, Mr. Hayes. Let's see here. We will go now to invited testimony. First up is Ms. Brooke Lavender, President of the ALS Association. Ms. Lavender, please put yourself on the record and begin your testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I am Brooke Lavender. I serve as a Care Services Manager for the ALS Association in Alaska. I would like to share my strong support of Senate Bill number 256, which seeks to establish May as Amyotrophic Lateral Sclerosis Awareness Month in the state of Alaska. ALS is an always fatal disease affecting the nerve cells in the brain and spinal cord, resulting in progressive muscle weakness, paralysis, and eventually respiratory failure. Because of this, total disease duration's costs are around $1,433,992. There's currently no cure. My dog's squeaking his toy, sorry. As a constituent deeply impacted by ALS, both personally and professionally, I am very supportive of this bill. Sorry, one second. Sorry. My cousin Nick Sloan, who served as a U.S. Marine sergeant, tragically passed away from ALS last summer. Veterans are twice as likely to be diagnosed with ALS. Nick started a nonprofit called Attack Life Sloan in Texas, and living in Alaska, I wanted to do my part in raising awareness. I started this job 2 years ago to serve and support those affected by ALS, and I've dedicated myself to assisting everyone I can possible. Currently, we have around 60 people with ALS in Alaska. One of the most pressing issues confronting the ALS community is the absence of a multidisciplinary clinic within our state. This void compels many ALS patients to endure travel with a debilitating disease or even relocate out of state to access essential care. The burden of travel exacerbates these already formidable challenges, inflicting emotional and financial strains on individuals and families already grappling with the devastating impacts of ALS. Senate Bill 256 presents a crucial opportunity for us to recognize this pressing need and to raise awareness about ALS within our state. By designating May as ALS Awareness Month, we can shine a spotlight on the urgent necessity for comprehensive ALS care services right here in Alaska. This bill not only honors the memory of those we have lost to ALS, but also serves as a beacon of hope for those currently battling the disease. I implore each of you to lend your support to Senate Bill number 256. Let us stand together in solidarity with the ALS community, advocating for improved access to care and advancing efforts to combat this very devastating disease. Together, we can make a meaningful difference in the lives of Alaskans affected by ALS. Sorry. Thank you for your time, consideration, and commitment to addressing this critical issue. Thank you to the chair and all respective members.
Thank you, Ms. Lavender. Are there any questions for Ms. Lavender? I'm not seeing any. Thank you again. We'll go now to Ms. Michelle Foley, who's representing herself, who was recently diagnosed with ALS. Ms. Foley, if you could please put yourself on the record and begin your testimony.
Hello, my name is Michelle Foley, and I live in Fairbanks. Good afternoon, Chair Dunbar, members of the committee, and Senator Kawasaki. Thank you for allowing me the opportunity to testify today. I would like to share my support for Senate Bill 256. I was officially diagnosed with ALS in April 2023. My journey to a diagnosis took almost a year. When I went to my doctor with my first symptoms, she initially diagnosed me with a vitamin deficiency. Then as my symptoms became more pronounced, she thought I perhaps had a compressed nerve in my neck. 8 months after first showing symptoms, I was referred to a neurologist who thought I might have ALS. It took another 2 months and a trip out of state to receive an official diagnosis, and another 2 months after that to jump through all the hoops to get insurance approval to begin on the first day of only 3 medications available to ALS patients that have been shown to slightly slow ALS progression. Prior to my diagnosis, I had no idea what ALS was. I was completely blindsided by the diagnosis. When you are given an ALS diagnosis, you are told that the life expectancy is 2 to 5 years. But living with ALS, I have realized that you don't just die. In those 2 to 5 years, ALS will take away everything I value and hold dear. These 2 to 5 years will be filled with the gradual loss of the use of my hands, arms, feet, and legs, the ability to talk, walk, and breathe. One slowly, or for some quickly, loses the ability to do everyday tasks. Grasping door handles to open doors becomes impossible. One doesn't have the strength to zip up a zipper or the dexterity to button a shirt. Doing basic tasks including talking, leaves me breathless. I will eventually completely lose my ability to talk and instead rely on the digitized voice to communicate for me. And anyone who knows me knows that I am always talking. I will lose the ability to walk and eventually move at all. At some point in the disease progression, ALS patients require full-time care for everything from bathing, toileting, turning over in bed to someone cleaning out their feet and trach tubes and getting into and out of a wheelchair. It is an ugly and cruel disease. As someone who knew nothing about ALS and was diagnosed with it, it is important to me to raise awareness about this fatal disease. Increased awareness would help patients and doctors be more aware of the symptoms of ALS, leading to an earlier diagnosis. It can take anywhere from 1 to 3 years to receive a diagnosis. Raising awareness is also important to bring understanding to the need for additional research and funding for research to develop meaningful treatment for ALS and perhaps sooner cure. There are currently only 3 FDA-approved medications, and these extend life expectancy at most a few months. Finally, increasing people's knowledge about ALS, what the disease is, and how it affects a person may bring awareness to the challenges and battles that an ALS patient faces and create a better understanding for this, for those fighting this brutal disease. On a personal note, this summer, our family decided to visit family in the UK while I could still walk and talk, though much more slowly. We rented a canal boat in Wales. My 17-year-old grandson was the captain for 4 days and got us through the locks and drawbridges expertly. We moored the boat one day, and my daughter and I went down the hill to a quaint little store. On the way back up the hill, I asked for her arm to help me up the hill. I said ALS had made me old before my time. We both started crying. Back at the boat, the captain asked what was wrong, and I told him that I was sad because I had ALS. He started crying, and we all held each other. My middle granddaughter saw us and asked why we were crying. We told her why, and she hugged us and said she was sorry. The youngest grandchild, 13, asked what was going on, and I told her I hated having ALS. She responded and looked at a watch she didn't have and said, okay, but don't we need to get going? And that's what we're doing. We go forward in hope and love and sometimes tears, but always in hope. I appreciate you allowing me the chance to voice my support for Senate Bill 256. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Ms. Foley. Are there any questions? I don't see any. Thank you again for your testimony, Ms. Foley.
Oh, thank you very much.
At this time, we're going to open public testimony. Is there anyone in the room who would like to testify on this bill? I'm not seeing anyone. I don't see anyone online. We have no one online as well. So I'm going to close public testimony. I'll just say before we set the bill aside, just some comments. I served with a soldier in the Army National Guard who had also been a Marine and deployed to Iraq and Afghanistan. And he was sent on an assignment out of state and the lower 48 and was diagnosed with ALS. And I didn't realize it was only 60 people in Alaska. I thought it was a little more common because there was this person I was quite close to that was diagnosed. I went on a training a number of years ago and happened to be in the same state that he now lives in and went and visited with him and his family. And that's when I discovered that veterans are 1.5 to 2 times more likely to be diagnosed with ALS, which is surprising to me, which means that there is something about the veteran community that indicates that it's more prevalent, which in some ways means that at least we have some indication that maybe there is something that causes this and perhaps we can take a step towards a cure, and I hope and believe that someday a cure will be possible. But I know many of us have seen this in our friends or family, but I want to thank the sponsor for bringing it, and I especially want to thank Ms. Foley for her testimony today. That was very moving, and we all wish you the very best.
Thank you very much. Lots of support. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Foley. Is there any further discussion before we set this bill aside? Okay, we will do so. We will set this bill aside, and we will bring it up at a later date. I think that is it for today. All right. If you are considering amendments to this bill, please tell my office and submit legislative legal electronically by 12 p.m. Wednesday, March 13th. The Senate Community Regional Affairs Committee will meet next on Thursday, March 14th. The time is 1:59, and this committee meeting is now adjourned.